Politician, can you make a right decision for all of us? For all of us. Politician, can you make a right decision for all of us? Yeah.
Welcome back to hour number three of the most thrilling 3 hours in talk radio, broadcasting from New Zealand, the island chained nation, the paradise of slavery and FEMA camp manacles. It is just gorgeous, glorious, rainy, stormy, and with a dash of scumbaggery on top, like a cherry on your whipped cream made of Monsanto goodness that is in 99% of our imported canola oil without labels. You know, you gotta love illusions because they're so comforting, aren't they? People think of New Zealand, they think of this pristine paradise. I mean, it's basically just a glorified third world rubbish dump. Just looks prettier, you know, from time to time. Like a little prime ministerial dictatorship that we've got here. You know, he gets to appoint all his cabinet members who get to run the entire government. So, whatever happens is the role of the person who runs the country. And incidentally, it helps if your party members used to run the media in this country and broker deals between the government to bail them out for like a $37 million debt. And unpaid broadcasting fees because they can't get enough advertising, but they can advertise the government's new agenda to sell off the entire country to foreigners. That's New Zealand. Does it sound familiar to anybody? You know, doesn't it sound familiar to everybody? You know, it's rings within rings. You heard of the fractal? Everything's just a little holographic version of something much larger. Still retains the same form wherever you go. I talked to David Icke once, John, and I asked him, you've talked in like 50 countries or something. He goes, yeah. And I go, well, have you ever stepped off the plane and not instantly started to recognize the little apparatus of the New World Order going up around you? Goes, no. You know, it's everywhere. It's one of those inescapable things. And I think when there is no escape, the only escape people have is internally, which is why I really vibe with your music. It's very, very good.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Yeah, there's internal is the place to go because the outside show is the one that if you get caught up in, you're just going to continue to recycle the same reality that you're seeing. So the more that we look at what's going on, it's not to say be unaware of what's happening. You're going to be aware of what's happening because you are alive and what's happening is around you. But to put your trust in that as a greater reality than your imagination is a great detriment towards the revolution. Like, the revolution is not televised. Why? Because it's not on the scene of our eyes at all. You're not going to see it out there. You have to create it within and manifest it and express it into existence rather than continually just react to the plays and the calls that the shadow governments and these fools behind the scenes are running.
And that's part of the occult knowledge, actually, that they try to keep from people, that you have the ability to manifest things into existence that have real power and real significance. Symbolism, for example, a good example of that. You know, just think about it, man. They try to make everybody forget that we're capable of that kind of power because they want it for themselves. They're not using it for its intentional purpose. Everything's kind of like a double-edged sword. I mean, look at the internet. Oh, we're going to create this little system that's going to surveil and control and track everybody. Yeah, they'll be our slaves. Oh, that kind of backfired a little bit, didn't it, buddy? Maybe worked a bit, but yeah, at the end of the day, you wouldn't have so much of a, well, quite an irritating time with people like me, quite frankly.
Yeah, that's like what I'm saying is that I feel that whatever is attempted will be foiled because there's a greater power. The greater power is just what naturally is. It's just our being, the true love, light that is always going to be greater than any plot to go against the nature, to go against the natural, to go against the all that is. And so I don't get too worried. I don't think worrying added a day of life to anyone. I don't, you know, it doesn't make anything better. So.
Yeah. Well, anxiety is just about worrying about stuff that ain't there yet. And, depression is about worrying about stuff that ain't there, has long gone, right?
For sure. And those patterns, they can be valuable if you use them to come out of those feelings. Like if you recognize, okay, I'm feeling depressed or I'm feeling in fear right now. Let me do something about it, because you usually feel those ways because your thoughts and your habits or your patterns lead you to that. And so it's letting you know, hey, don't think like that. Don't act like that anymore. But quite often we try to fight our emotions instead of looking for a new thought and coming into a new vibration. We just fight against our emotions and we fight against fear, or we'll fight against worry. And when we put up that resistance sucks us even further away from what we're attempting to manifest. And
unless, of course, you obtain victory with that resistance, in which case it empowers you.
Is that, I don't feel that it's ever possible to achieve victory through a resistance. I feel only through integration. Through a oneness, because everything that's out there is one with me already. It's just somehow manifesting on a scheme or on a way that we're viewing it as a differentiated happening or dimension.
So you're talking about talking about intellectual things or spiritual things, not about physical things. Like, for example, somebody comes up to you and starts stabbing you with a knife and you don't resist because you believe what you resist persists and you get stabbed to death.
Right. See, it's a different type of approach. Like if someone is coming up to attack you, what you would do is, you wouldn't resist whatever energy it is that they have coming at you with. You're not resisting the fact that they're coming at you. You accept that. You're okay, they're coming at me. If you resisted that they're coming at you, then it would persist and they would stab you. But you accept that they're coming at you, and with that in mind, because you support life, you move out of the way, or you grab the knife and do what you have to do from there. It's just a matter of how we want to look at it. Like I definitely don't want to associate the word resistance with something good, but at the same time, I recognize what you're saying. There's some point where you say, hey, I am not going to allow that to happen to me. And that is what we are calling resistance from your perspective, and I agree with you.
Well, I mean, there's two types of resistance. What I'm saying is there's the two worlds, physical and metaphysical, and so there's two types of resistance. You know, if you're resisting against something intellectually kind of thing, what you're doing is you're saying, I don't accept that idea. I really don't like it. I'm going to fight against it. I'm going to put all my energy in it. I'm going to stay up late at night. And you're like, honey, aren't you coming to bed? No, there's somebody on the internet that's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you wind up wasting your way along it. However, if you just accept it and go, okay, well, I guess that's just one person's perspective. They haven't really supplied any supplementary evidence, and I don't really have the time to look into it. So, rightio. Next.
Yeah, exactly. I see the distinction that you're making. What is resistance in electricity?
I don't know, water, metal, pretty much anything the electricity travels through.
The resistance will strengthen the voltage of a current. The more resistance that you give, or the more friction that you give it, it will increase the voltage. And so it's interesting to look at it that way.
Yeah, but of course, as electricity travels along the power lines, it actually loses its charge and that kind of thing, and there's a whole bunch of dirty electricity that comes off of it. Dirty electricity, which incidentally, the new smart meters are programmed to read, whereas the old meters didn't read the waste electricity that was just coming off. And so now some people in Australia have reported like 40% increase in their monthly power bill.
Wow.
Yeah. See, and you know why they have to pay that extra 40% extra on their power bill? Because they didn't resist getting a smart meter installed.
Well, see, you know, Nikola Tesla, he then came up with wireless electricity. Like, we're right now we use wireless communication and his vision of wireless communication with these devices, but he already invented and it's in use but not available to the public, wireless power, so you can get power to anything for free. It is free because it's coming straight, it's regenerated straight from the electromagnetic fields of the Earth. So it's interesting that technology isn't available to people now, and because we could have a sustainable utopian type of civilization where there's unlimited power and unlimited resources for everyone.
Unfortunately, the only reason why it's not available to everyone is because a few people seize the unlimited power and resources for themselves.
They're in fear of somehow not having enough. And where does that come from? Back to that birth trauma that we were talking about. When you came to the Earth, if you left the womb too early, if your mother stopped you from breastfeeding too early, if you got your umbilical cord cut too early before you learned how to breathe enough air, you may have formed a pre-verbal thought that says, there's not enough, that there's not going to be enough. And so you formed a scarcity consciousness, and then institutions and agencies formed around that. And then people who came into the world who were also feeling scarce and feeling like they lacked resonated with those same groups, and they formed organizations of people who are just big babies who are attracted to the same principles of lack and scarcity, and they're there trying to control themselves and control the whole planet so that they don't feel so insecure that there's not enough.
Well, many ancient cultures have talked about parasitical organisms that take over people's minds that are obsessed with power and control. You know, even I think the teachings of Don Juan. Have you ever read that book?
And
what occurs to me is that I know that I'm human, because when I see somebody else feel pain, I feel a little bit of pain. And I think that's kind of what separates them from us. I think that's what gives them the ability to treat us the way that they do, is that when we hurt, they don't feel pain. They feel joy or laughter.
No, I don't know what they feel. See, I think that there may be people who are that psychotic that they do feel some type of thrill, but it's a demented, perverted way that can be healed.
Okay. And but maybe let's say theoretically you were earning $1 trillion a year. Would you still think the exact same way?
Oh, for sure. If I was earning $1 trillion a year, that would be a lot easier to set into effect some of these things that I want to do for humanity. So I would be thinking the same way. I print my own money as well, and I've used this money to buy things. It's not Federal Reserves. It's not any other counterfeit currency. It's Babaji money. It's money that's based on the principle that there is a renewable, sustainable, infinite source of resources available in the universe. And so I print money that expresses these ideas, and that's what's backing the money. And then I play the game of expressing this concept, which is a very valuable concept, in however valuable the concept is that I've explained to people, is how much they're willing to trade. So sometimes people have traded me Federal Reserves or other money for this same money. And it's a fun game to play. And it allows me to really get into the mindset that I do have $1 trillion a year available to me. And it's really the creativity and the goods and services and ideas that I'm able to share with more people, the more I'll be able to increase actual transactions of that money that's already there waiting for me. It's already waiting to be tapped. I just have to connect to more people, get some greater services and greater products out to more people and ideas.
You can even create a rap group to promote it called the Babaji Unit.
No doubt. I'll send you some money someday.
Yeah, it'll be much appreciated. I'll see if it works on the power company, eh?
You know, there is.
I gave you Babaji money, bro. What more do you want?
There's people who've been having success though with the with accepting for value and doing the whole UCC game. It takes a lot of work and know-how to fill out your papers and your forms properly, and it's a fight if you're going to go that route. But a lot of people have gone that route where they've learned how to turn bills into discharges against the national debt rather than bills towards their artificial person. And it's quite interesting, the if you're familiar with that, the sovereign UCC.
We had a girl down south here, I forget her name off the top of my head, but she withdrew like $15 million. Yeah, just straight up. They put it in her bank account.
Yeah. Wow, too cool.
But then they arrested her. And of course they couldn't charge her with anything because she didn't break any laws, so they tried to break her arm.
Wow.
With three cops on her in the cell. Yeah, mother of nine.
Wow.
And they couldn't break her arm because she had a steel pin in it, because she broke it ages ago. Three big strong men couldn't break it, you know.
Wow, story.
Yeah. This country's rough, bro. You know, Like, you ever hear those stories about, like, the Boss Hog, Texas Chainsaw Massacre-type sheriffs and what have you? I'm convinced that there are pretty much archetypes of New Zealand police officers that fit those exact descriptions.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this is one of the things I love about my country, is that it's quite a beautiful place if you don't look at any of the dark places within it.
Yeah, that's the thing. You gotta focus on the good, hold that vibration, and you know, your heart and your mind, your heart and your brain, they emit a field that really are so powerful that it makes sense to just stick with the good. Stick with the good feelings and don't focus too much on that which will take you out of alignment with it. I would never say to ignore your surroundings, but I'll say more so recognize the primacy of our imagination and of our self-manifesting rather than getting caught in the manifestations of the past that we don't want to relive and recreate.
Well, I guess I'm just experimenting. I mean, maybe it's a bit ironic because it's kind of like the suffering of others is what compels me to try and help.
It's true. Like anytime that I'm feeling a good feeling, I think of others simultaneously. Like I get a feeling for others, like that I wish this good feeling, this good health, this strength for all people. Like, for some reason, I'm always thinking of myself intimately linked with all people. And the suffering of all people is intimately linked with me. So that means that my joy, though, and my bliss is intimately linked with them. And so if I allow my vibration to become lowered based upon what they've created for themselves. And that's not to say that people have created the suffering for themselves. That, I mean, suffering is something we do create for ourselves through ignorance. We create it through habit. Significantly, I feel, is these traumas that are started with birth, and then the cycle continues with those other institutions that I've spoke of. And those things can be very detrimental if we continue to focus on them and give them energy. That's what they want. Those things only will live, those institutions, so long as we give them energy. But as we begin to draw our focus into our being again, it'll create a vibration within us personally that will reach to everyone just the same way that you can feel their suffering and that reaches to you. You don't want to communicate that back to them like, well, yeah, I'm suffering too. You want to communicate, okay, I feel you. I'm going to raise my mind, my consciousness, raise my creativity, raise my skills, and raise my money, whatever I can do to help out people that may be in those conditions. So I feel you what you're saying, though, because you have a heart. You have compassion for what's going on, and that's the sign of a real sincere seeker.
Well, I think what happens is you see what happens to other people, and what it does in a lot of ways, kind of in a selfish way, is it teaches you a lot about yourself and how you react to it kind of thing. And that's the sort of obsession that I have, is I'm trying to live vicariously through as many people's lives and stories and thoughts and ideas as I can, so I can gain an even broader perspective about how the world really is by seeing it through so many other people's eyes.
That's really cool. Yeah, that's a really, really cool way. I appreciate that a lot.
I mean, I don't know why other people live their lives the way they do, but this is the reason I live my life the way I do. Yeah. Does anybody even come to that understanding in due course? I'm only 29. I thought it was pretty profound.
For sure. It is definitely profound because to really not make any of the views the absolute one, not even your own. They're just reality tunnels or ways that we've chose to view and experience our world. It just allows for much more compassion and learning from other people's views. And it makes life more fun for me. So that way I'm not a jerk. Like if someone comes up to me and says they just saw a fairy or a unicorn, I don't have to be a jerk and be like, get your ass out of here. You didn't see that shit. Just because I don't see fairies and unicorns. So I'll be open to, wow, that's very interesting. Tell me more about that.
Describe the situation. Was there somebody riding the unicorn?
Exactly.
Was its horn twisted like a lollipop stick? Yeah. There are some people, and here's the other thing. There actually are crazy people. That's what I found. I was thinking to it for a while there, you know, is there actually crazy people, or is it just that I don't understand them? And like, actually, no, there are crazy people who believe in stuff that ain't real. And the problem is that they do things in the real world that nobody else's belief structure would actually dictate that they do. Have you noticed that? Like, even if you accept a radical Christian who wants to blow themselves up, right? Even if you accept that idea, the idea still actually poses a danger to you. And I think that that's part of the real importance of ideas in a broader sense, is that some ideas are actually very dangerous and can be misused.
Oh, yeah. You can use any idea for whatever purpose you want. That's what ideas are for. I mean, that's what the mind is for. Many people use the mind just to analyze things that others have already done. But the greatest virtue of the mind, from my point of view, is that you can create whatever you can conceive of. And does that mean that you can transform your body into a werewolf? According to some Native American traditions, why, yes, you can. According to some shaman traditions, yes, you can. And they will swear that it's for real, whereas some other people will swear that they're crazy. And they'll have their proofs of how it happens and how they did it. And other people who don't believe it will have their debunkings of it. And then you have a crazy person, a person who says he can turn into an eagle and jumps off of a building and kills himself. Did he ever change in his mind into an eagle while he was doing what he did? Did as soon as he jumped off that building, he was in another dimension flying as an eagle? In another world somewhere, and what we see happen to that body was just our experience. I have no idea. I'm not here to really completely certify.
Well, let's say he survived and he's bleeding on the ground or something. Go, damn it, I didn't turn into an eagle, and then he died.
If that happened, maybe he turned into an eagle when he died because the last thing he said was eagle. And Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, what you focus on when you die, you become, or you go to that. Yeah, that's the thing. My mind has become so weirded out by the different realities that I've experienced in my life and that other people have expressed to me, that I could probably see I could probably find a way to explain any crazy thing that is expressed, any of the craziest ideas about blue elephants with heads of lions and with wings. Like, I could probably find a way to explain it, just because I feel that is the best thing about the mind, is that it is creative and imaginative. It's not the analytical part that tries to get all logical. No, that doesn't make sense. That's stupid.
I heard that.
That part's an okay part of the mind. It has its benefits. I'm not downing it, but I just think that the greatest virtue of it is that we can create and according to what is going to serve us the best. And quite often we create all types of ulterior things than what is serving us the best. So.
I was told recently about a medical trial. They were trying to do polygraph tests on drug addicts who didn't believe that they had a problem. And they passed the polygraphs on themselves. They actually believed their own lies.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder just how many of us actually believe our own BS.
I think that's all that is really happening, is we're all just believing our own story.
But somebody's writing the story, though. You know, there's obvious key players, you know, in terms of social engineering. But you're talking about just individualized perception of, oh, it could mean this, it could mean that. But what I seek to do is kind of collapse down the perception, because what was it? There's this sort of spectrum. There's totally not true, possible, and definitely true. Right? Do you believe that such a thing exists?
Well, according to Hermetic philosophy, they say that everything is half true and half false.
And so there's nothing that's actually true, nothing that's actually false?
Yeah. According to Hermetic philosophy, as expressed in the Kabbalion by Hermes, now, that is just another theory there. And the fact that there's all these theories and I am not prepared to subscribe to one with certainty leaves that it must be that all of it is true for me. It's either all true or all false for me.
I kind of just believe that it's all false, you know, generally speaking. You know, when we were talking with Jordan Maxwell, he says, nothing that you've ever been told about the way the world works is what you think it is. Nothing.
Right. Like you have Bob Frizzell. He has the book, Nothing in This Book is True, but it is exactly how things are. And that's a great statement because then his second book was called Something in This Book is True. And the books are pretty much identical as far as what they're expressing, and that's because he's playing with the concept to let people know that the way what we call true is all a creation of our own perception. Like there's no way that someone can be the authority of what is the truth for me other than me. And there's no way I could be the authority for you for what is true. There's no way a textbook or a school can be the authority for that. So Jordan Maxwell, he's a great personality. David Icke, he's great. But are they authorities for what is happening in the world? No, they're great storytellers of their version and their story of reality.
Mm-hmm. And of course, though, there is that 3D reality that we all kind of got a vibe with. And this is where I feel that some of these belief structures get muddled up, is that perception controls reality, when the reality is you actually have a 3D body. You live in a 3D world. There are plenty of other things going on, sure, but these ones are actually quite sure. And if you push something, it falls over. And that's something like that's the guideline. But outside of that guideline, there are infinite possibilities of stuff that can happen, could happen, might happen. And I think that's what's quite exciting about games, really, is because at least games have rules that are sometimes pretty hard to break and get away with.
Oh, for sure. There's definitely some pre-existing things that we decided to set up for this game before we all came here. But we all chose that all consciously. We chose the rules to the game. And we've came to a point where we're choosing new rules again. And it happens periodically. It's not like it happened once where there was one rules and this is the first time the rules of the game have changed. And the game changers, the changers of the rules of the game and the changers of the whole game to a whole different game are the visionaries and the imaginative people behind the scenes often, a lot of times the artists, and a lot of times they're the mystics who aren't confined by religious institutions.
Yeah, and traditionally the good ones get whacked and the bad, and Justin Bieber takes his place. Sorry to sound cynical.
No, he's...
It's unfortunate. Like, you know, one thing that really makes me sad is Tupac.
You know, Tupac, I'm actually, as I'm talking about all these traumas that I'm speaking of, Tupac was one of the main people to speak about it, and that's part of his message that is all erased damn near. You know what the word thug life meant? The word thug life was an acronym that he said meant the hate you gave little infants fucks everybody. THUGLIFE. The hate you gave little infants fucks everybody. And that's about that birth trauma that happens during birth and infancy consciousness when the traumas begin. And especially in the hood and in the ghetto, it gets really fucked up. And Tupac was talking about this. Tupac was about to play Nat Turner in a movie. Nat Turner was a slave who started seeing hieroglyphics in the sky and trees and heard a message that said it's time to free yourself and the rest of the slaves. And he went and did it. And Nat Turner was about to play him in a Tupac was about to play him in a movie right before he got killed. Now, Tupac did have some death urge issues. Like, there's another major issue of the traumas in mankind is the death urge that has been forced upon us by these institutions that teaches us that, yep, anything is possible, yeah, except you will all be taxed and you will all die. Isn't that what they say?
And what's interesting about that equation is people haven't worked out that it's the tax that gets you.
Right, the tax that gets you. And see, that's the thing. As a sovereign, you have to be able to work all of that out. The death urge and the taxes. And it's a fun game. Like, it's a very fun game. It doesn't have to be a drudgery, even though it can be if you opt for that. But the more creative you are, the more fun it is.
I think what we've got here now, whole worlds, whole society, is actually really, really awesome. But the problem is it's all built on a lie currently. You know? Wouldn't it be nice if all the lies were true? That the Congress could be trusted? That the justice system dispensed justice? That the police kept the peace? Wouldn't it be great if all those lies were true?
Yeah, it's going to take our action and not our apathy. I think we're going to have to have a new system of governance implemented, not necessarily tearing down the pre-existing institutions, but right now there's not enough representation in the neighborhoods. Like right now, I have ways that I feel that ought to be expressed to Congress that I shouldn't have to just call to Congress. No, there ought to be a further extension of government that is collecting the opinions and the wants and desires of the neighborhoods of a neighborhood representative. And this, and I really feel it could work if the wishes and the views of each person in the neighborhood was taken into account and it was made sure to be accounted for in our law process. Because right now, it's almost like a mob rule. And the thing is, the mob doesn't even agree. It's not even the majority that agrees. So it's sort of like it's not even a mob rule democracy. It's a few people who agree on something, who force feed it to a mob, and then say, hey, the mob agrees with it, so this is the way it has to be.
The traditional name for that person is a demagogue. So we have a demagogocracy. Demagogocracy.
Wow, that's good. I'd like to get the term.
Oh yeah. And I think these are the demagogue means rabble rouser, basically, you know. And I think that's basically what the politicians have become, don't you think? They're just glorified rabble rousers. They get everybody go, yeah, I want to give up my rights. I love you because I have daddy issues.
Pretty much, there is a major like that going on.
Yeah. Well, I think that's something that the state has been doing for quite some time. You know, they always look up to the state. Oh, you bathed me and you clothed me and you raised me. Oh, no, actually, my parents did that. But you're good enough. and you give me money and ID and surveillance and all that time. I just love you, state. And you tax me and you kill certain people through the police force and the police never get fired for some reason or even disciplined. It's unbelievable. Yes,
it's a shame that it happens like that, and it doesn't have to. That is the unfortunate part, that there's actually things we can do to change it. Like that Super Bowl, a lot of there were so many people gathered together concerned about that. And I like sports. Sports are great, but when they're used to distract you from things of greater importance, the same with the celebrities. I like movies. I like music. It's all fine and dandy for me, but I'm not going to be the one to be distracted with that shit all day, allowing that to become my thing, like fantasy football and what Justin Bieber did. Even wondering if Justin Bieber and Miley Cyrus is part of the Illuminati, I don't give a fuck. What they do doesn't affect me. That is what is distracting people from the real stuff that is happening. What Jay-Z throws up, he could throw up a diamond every single day to a goat and to a serpent and then do a backspin. I would not care. It doesn't affect me. It doesn't take money out of my pocket. It doesn't hurt the ghetto. It doesn't brutalize people. No. What's hurting people is police, the IMF, the Federal Reserve, the IRS, the drug war. Those types of things are really fucking things up. And the more we're talking about Jay-Z being Illuminati, the more we're losing ground with what we could be dismantling, which is these fear-based and superstition-based agencies and institutions keeping people enslaved.
Don't you think there's a spectrum of dominance? Like they're trying to dominate us from every spectrum, with our culture, with our money, with our resources, all of that kind of thing. And so therefore that it needs a spectrum of people to create better solutions in the face of those, in every single sector. You know, for example, you know, I'm really interested in music, and the Illuminati's big in the music scene. So let's have a look at all of these people here. Ah, there's one. Not going to listen to him anymore. Everybody, stop listening to him. He's Illuminati. How about this guy over here? Yeah, he's much better. And he's certainly not drinking children's blood. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. And what's going on back there?
I'm letting my son in real quick. He's just getting home. There may be some occult practices, some insidious type things going on in relation to the music artists or whatever on all the Grammys and Super Bowls. They do a lot of really deeply symbolic things. And does it cause people to become evil or whatever? I don't think so. I think not by itself,
but what if it's everywhere? What if it's embedded into everything? What if in every single movie you're watching, and I watch a few movies, every single movie pretty much has something of an occult symbol in it.
Uh-huh.
And deliberately put in there. And apparently, what was it? Scottish Rite Freemasonry expert, Freder X, I think was his name. He believes that what they've done is actually infiltrate the entertainment industry in order to embed their symbolism, because they believe that by constant repetition of these symbols, it will bring people more in line with the Masonic religion which they propagate, which isn't actually true Freemasonry. It's just an occult basic jumble fluff of what was his name? I forget. But yeah.
Albert Pike?
Yeah, that's the one. Apparently Albert Pike had all these old occult writings and stuff like that, you know, like the offcuts of his diaries and everything, and they just forged some kind of a religion out of it and proceeded to try and dominate the occult world, get the knowledge and get power for themselves and frack all other forms of Freemasonry, frack the Blue Lodges, frack the Egyptians, who cares? And anytime anybody interviews anybody for the History Channel about Freemasonry, it's always a 33rd degree person of the Scottish Rite.
Right. Well, I don't view the symbols now. I think everything's a symbol. This whole universe is a symbol from my perspective, and the universe communicates in symbols. And the way that we ascribe meaning to symbols, the way we draw up the meaning of a symbol, is based on what is within our own consciousness. And there's like, for instance, I use the Baphomet symbology very often, which I don't believe any symbol in and of itself is evil. But when people see it, they're often very scared of it and don't have any of the, they don't, first of all, there's nothing that makes a goat bad. There's been a goat man in our archetype for hundreds of thousands of years, if we're dealing with Pan or dealing with the Shiva yogi version of a horned god. Like, there's always been this horned god, and the fact that people have a version of it in their mind that it's evil today, when back in the day in indigenous cultures, the horned god was actually a symbol for the father god. Now the horned god is evil. And that's because as times change, the gods become the demons become the gods, and it just all keeps switching around in people's minds because no one is doing the knowledge of self that they're the god. And they're making all of these things up. They're creating them all with their own consciousness. The Baphomet is not evil. Baphomet means baptized in the math. Baphomet can also be read backwards, meaning templi hominem. It's a templi hominem hominem passus. When you apply the Atbash cipher to it, which was a Hebraic cipher, and this cipher says that Baphomet, when you read it that way, actually means the temple of peace among men. And there's so many, like the goat of Mendes in Egypt was a symbol for uniting the higher and the lower self. There's so many roots of these things that people forget about in order to be scared when they see a certain symbol instead of be empowered by the symbol. And why is that? It's because their own fear within them. So if every time I watch movies and see Baphomet, if I see a movie and see the eye of Ra or Heru or whatever I see in there, it doesn't scare me to make me think, oh, the Illuminati's behind this for evil. I'm thinking like, oh, that symbol is reminding me of God, of my own divinity. And when I tap into that source, I help all people around the world tap into it because there's just one mind here. So the more minds that are enmeshed in the
difference being, though, you're capable of consciously recognizing that symbol for what it means. What about the subliminal aspects that are affecting everybody who don't know what it means at all and don't even notice it at all?
Right. And also things that maybe I'm not even noticing that might be affecting me, because I can't say I'm totally aware of every single image that's passing by my eyes. That would be ignorant of me. But the things do affect us. But inherently, who we are is who we are inherently. And it's going to take, like, I feel that me tuning into the divinity of the symbol is a stepping stone for each and every person to tune into it. So it takes more alchemists watching these things with a God consciousness, more alchemists listening to these things with a God consciousness to alchemize it and not be afraid, not make it fear-based, but to say, like, there's a rapper.
What His do you think would... Oh, I'm sorry, continue.
There's a rapper. His name is 2 Chainz. He has... He talks a lot about ignorant stuff. Everyone makes fun of him, like he's not real hip-hop. He's ignorant as hell. He has a song where he's like, when I die, bury me in the Gucci store. And then he says, when I die, bury me next to 2 bitches. Now, when I heard that, immediately I saw in my mind a picture of Asar standing next to the 2 goddesses in an Egyptian hieroglyphic. And immediately when I was thinking of the Gucci store, like, it looks like an Egyptian tomb, the one on Michigan Avenue. And they're always done pretty exquisitely. Like, in our day and age, the exquisite tombs for people are that. And so I personally took that lyric and related to ancient Egypt and to some other symbols, whereas most people is just like, oh, he's just saying some ignorant stuff. And maybe he was just saying ignorant stuff. I'm not here.
You're like accidentally invoking the symbols of the ancient gods in a rap song about bitches.
That's my theory about hip hop and the whole thug cultures, that there is an underlying divine consciousness, and it takes alchemists to point it out and expose it, and until we step forward and start exposing it, it's going to continue to create the same cycle of fuckery that it's creating.
I wondered what would happen if an alchemist went into an MK Ultra mind control program where they used fear and trauma-based mind control on them, sleep deprivation and stuff like that, and see what they could manifest out of it. Because what I found is you can actually have a really profound effect on somebody, even if their mind is really, really strong. You can still destroy people with these really nasty techniques. There are even people that had their entire memories wiped. Like, they were trying to figure out a way of using enough LSD to completely wipe the mind and then build a person from the ground up again.
Wow.
Yeah, man. There's some nasty stuff. And that was only because people only found out about these programs because a couple of documents didn't get shredded. Like, there were thousands upon thousands upon thousands. Apparently, this program was massive across the United States. It was happening everywhere.
Yeah, that's why I've never used LSD. I just stick to the mushrooms, the peyotes, and the weeds.
Yeah, yeah. The natural stuff.
That's it.
Yeah, a couple of my mates from Australia, Santos Bonacci and Max Egan, they've been cruising out to South America to take the ayahuasca.
Oh, that sounds fun.
Yeah. Yes.
Santos Bonacci, I like his science. He's dope.
He got arrested just recently.
Oh, no.
Yeah, man. Took a car and a whole lot of things, man. Apparently he's got some ridiculous couple of thousands of dollars worth of fines or something like that from parking or whatever. He's like, oh, I don't have to pay him, I'm a sovereign, mate, you know. But anyway, I'm going to have him on the show, I think in the next week or two, to have a bit of an update from him about it, because apparently, you know, getting arrested, it ain't no picnic, really. Nobody enjoys it. Nobody.
You know? No, not at all. No, and I don't think, unless you've hurt somebody, unless you've hurt someone, no one deserves it. That, like, that don't, I'm not with people being arrested for anything other than physically hurting someone.
Yeah, if you need to be taken away because you're bloody dangerous, you know, that's about it.
That's it.
Yeah, I mean, what the hell is the point? Otherwise, okay, well, thank you very much, John the Baptist, Illuminati Congo. Have you got a website of some description for your people to check you out?
Yeah, we own www.illuminaticongo.com. Our YouTube is pretty popping. We got a lot of videos breaking down etymology and occult science and a lot of things from the perspective that I was speaking from this evening. And my music's all up there as well. Just Illuminati Congo everywhere online. You'll find a bunch of stuff. You'll even find videos about me done by other people claiming that I am the Antichrist and a Luciferian. So there's a lot of entertaining things if you search Illuminati Congo.
It's all good fun, ladies and gentlemen. Now, bear in mind, this is a listener-supported broadcast. The shows only get recorded and everything keeps getting done because you, the listener, wish it. This is the deal. I do what I feel is right, try and help people with interesting ideas be heard, whether they be already very famous themselves or have no success whatsoever at getting their stories out through mainstream media sources. Those are the kind of people that I choose to help. Those with voices that actually say something, not those that have some kind of an agenda or something to really ultimately gain for themselves. Instead, people who wish to share information that can actually help and heal and progress humanity down a track towards something better than whatever it is we currently have. It certainly ain't working out very well for most of us. Arguments aside. So go to the VinnyEastwoodShow.com. That's Vinny with a Y, because it's the most important question, and Eastwood hasn't go ahead, make my news. And other than that, ladies and gentlemen, stay safe, thank you for listening, and we shall see you again some other time.
You are the only exception. You are the only exception.